Hi, and welcome back to Pod Sothoth, a Lovecraft book club. And tonight, I have with me Claire Reynolds. Say hi, Claire.
Hi.
Hi. And I'm Todd Beardsley. That was a weird way to do it, but maybe we'll just stick with it. And tonight, we'll be talking about The Cats of Ulthar.
Uh-oh!
An ancient prophecy speaks of a mighty house cat.
If I didn't say that already. Did I say that already?
Nope.
I think I might have said that already. All right.
Did not.
Cool. yeah, I read that last week. It was a sweet 9-minute reading, very short story, and I'm kind of over the very short stories from Lovecraft. I mean, most of what he wrote was short stories, but I think next time we're gonna jump into something a little longer. I'm not super sure.
I would like to read it sometime. Read the story sometime. Would I ever be allowed to do that?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Yes. Yeah, for sure. I think, if you would prefer Claire to read it, just tweet at us at @PodSothoth.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
Or write to us at hideous@podsothoth.club. You know that's our email address, right?
I did not know that. Now I know.
Yeah. So it turns out hideous is the number one most used adjective by Lovecraft, which is why I picked it. Yeah. Yeah. He's a big fan of adjectives. He uses them a lot. Mm-hmm. Hideous. Hideous is the number one over
lean.
Over the corpus of I don't know why. Lean. Yes, that is a reference to the notary who is the lean Nith, which I believe he's described every time he's mentioned. He is described as lean. So is that a thing with notaries?
Them being lean?
I mean you're a lawyer. You know about notaries.
I mean, all the notaries I know are like normal sized.
Normal sized. All right.
But maybe notaries didn't make a whole lot of money in Lovecraft's world. It's not a a dollar
growth
breaker.
Well,
I mean,
perhaps.
It's a useful thing, but I don't think anyone out there is only a notary.
That's true. Yeah, and if you are only a notary, you're going to be pretty lean.
Right.
Because you're not making a lot of money, especially in the time of Ulthar. So let's talk about that. The city of Ulthar, which lies beyond the River Sky, that's about all we know about it. It is a city. It lies beyond the River Sky. It seems to be kind of old-timey. There's no mention of cars or telegraphs or telephones with super long wires. And so people put this in one of two places. One, it might be in the Dreamlands. It might not be on Earth. But, you know, there's still people and cats and all that. Mm-hmm. And second, which I like more, actually, this, I believe, is Lovecraft's first prehistory story. In prehistory, in weird fiction, like, is pretty well dominated by Robert E. Howard. Robert E. Howard wrote Conan the Barbarian, and that whole series, and that is all like squarely on Earth prehistory. Tolkien is also sometimes cited as like, oh, this is not just fantasy, but this is prehistory Earth. The geography is kind of sort of Europe, but still. Anyway, I think Ulthar is in this zone of a prehistorical Earth where this is like a time before writing. You know, again, this might hurt the notary gig if people are not literate.
Well, what did notaries do back then? Well, I guess they just maybe witnessed people sign their ex.
Maybe. And then like showed up in court or something. I mean, there was court, right? Like Hammurabi is prehistory, right? This is a biblical time. It's before Egypt.
I'm Googling notary in olden days.
Mm-hmm.
Notaries can be traced back to ancient Egypt when they were known as scribes.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, and we have like the appearance. Should we go over the story? We should go over the story.
Yes.
So let's bullet point the story. So it's real short. Basically, we have, it opens with, it is said in Ulthar, which lies beyond the River Sky, wherever that is, no man may kill a cat. Okay. So it is noteworthy for this feature of law where people can't kill cats.
You know what? You're not supposed to kill a cat now.
Yeah. It's still not cool. Turns out. you know, and cats are mentioned as like they're the soul of antique Egyptians. They know the secrets of hoary and sinister Africa, which, by the way, puts it on Earth. Like, I don't know if Africa actually exists in the Dreamlands or not, or if it's ever mentioned again. So we have Ulthar, right? This is a story told by an unnamed narrator, reflecting upon why this is.
I have a theory.
Go ahead.
It's not like a big deal theory. It's just that, like, obviously a cat wrote this.
Interesting.
The narrator is a cat. Absolutely. I can see our cat being like, oh, well. You know.
In Ulthar.
He's like, well, you really shouldn't kill a cat. Let me tell you why.
I like it. I've never heard, again, Claire, you bring so much to this podcast. I have never read this. That's really interesting.
So he's got a dog messing with him. And he's like, whoa, now, let me tell you a little story.
Hang on. Hang before on. You kill Hang me.
On. You may want to rethink this.
Not once has it ever occurred to me that maybe this is something, a tale a cat would, like, that is the animation of this, right? It is, that or the comic book. Like, it is very clearly like the Neil Gaiman-esque comic book reading of this is from the point of view of a cat. So anyway, what happens in the story? Well, this wandering caravan comes in. This little boy has a kitten. He's got a little black cat. He loves the cat. He has no parents. He's an orphan. And it turns out in Ulthar, there's an old cotter and his wife, and they freaking hate cats a lot, to the point where they go out of their way to set up devious traps and kill them. And what do you know? What happens to this kitten? Well, the kitten gets got too. The little boy is like super sad about it. He cries and cries. Someone tells him about the cotter and he gets real serious about it. Like, oh, Fortuna, kind of serious about things. And starts praying. There's like, he prays in some weird language nobody knows, which we'll get to because there's a line in there I really like. But then they leave the next morning and it turns out all the cats are gone and everybody's like, what? And there's these theories that, oh, well, the gypsies,
what?
They took all the cats in retribution.
Gypsies is not an appropriate word.
Okay.
What?
Does he use the word gypsies?
He does not use the word gypsies, but there is, well, let's just jump into it, right? The word gypsies. So the word gypsies does evoke Egypt. That is the root of the word. And these wandering traders and travelers seem to come from Egypt. They have a lot of Egyptian stuff with them, right? Like their wagons are weirdly painted with human bodies and the heads of cats and hawks and rams, right? Like, it's very kind of Egyptian sort of iconography there. You know, the horn with the disc in the middle is a very kind of Horus sort of thing. And so it's pretty, it's a short walk from the wanderers to Ulthar to Egypt. Especially when you consider this kid, this little boy, his name is Menes. Which I was, between you and me, kind of drunk when I read it, and I may have said Menses a couple times, but it's Menes, M-E-N-E-S, not Dennis the Menace. I know where you're going with this. Nope.
he was a pharaoh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he is No, you didn't. Like, he is the mythical founder of Memphis, which is the, you know, the seat of Egyptian, you know, civilization.
Yeah, but, okay. I am very concerned about the fact that we have just glossed over the term gypsy is considered to be taboo now.
I think it, yeah, sure, it is. But is it? It is.
It is.
It yes. is.
It is.
Well, is it?
It is.
Because like, to if you're, like, if you say like, oh, they gypped me, that is racist for sure.
Now you're supposed to use Romani. But of course, if I didn't know that the term gypsy comes from people from Egypt.
That's the thing. And
but
that's
that makes
why...
sense, because that is where I thought that that's supposed to be like the origin of the Romani. Originally,
well, no one really knows, right? Like the Romani are an ancient people, just like, you know, the Semites and like the Zoroasters, you know, like they all their origins, you know, outside of, you know, the you know, Africa, basically, like there's a big skip, right, between like the rise of humanity in Olduvai Gorge and all of these ethnic groups, right? And that's the period where this takes place. That's the period where like all like weird fiction slash prehistory takes place, in this subgenre anyway of weird fiction. So I apologize for using the term gypsy and the loaded connotations it has today. I didn't feel it was particular. I, as a non-Romani person, don't feel it's particularly racist when talking about the original people that refers to, right? Like,
actually, but they were from, no, well, the Romani were from, I'm sorry, I misspoke. The Romani are thought to be from India. I believe it's a mistaken belief that they were from Egypt.
Right, because like Egypt is, you know, weird and mystical and, you know, full of swarthy people.
All I'm saying is that if we were popular and people listened to us, this would be a problem. We would get angry emails.
Uh-huh.
And you would have to apologize.
Okay, well, you know what? I will pre-apologize for our during our pre-popularity period here. Because people are going to go back in 10 years and find this episode and think, oh my God, I can't believe I'm a gypsy. Now, if that is like the thing you're worried about with racism, I have news for you from here in 2020.
Oh, there are many, 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 many. Yes. No, I'm just saying that.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I am with you. You know, and it is hard. It's hard not to fall into the trap of like, well, when Lovecraft said it, blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't want to get into that because we know Lovecraft is a giant racist. And that, right? So, but I will say that, you know, the people described, who have visited Ulthar here and who like predicated the events of the story, were almost certainly from Egypt, are wandering travelers, are trading gay beads. and also I super want some gay beads.
That's the only kind of beads half the kids in our household.
Uh-huh. Right. and then they blow out of town and all the cats are gone. And so the townsfolk, the town council, the burgesses, believe that like, oh, well, maybe these traders took them. Maybe those swarthy traders from the south like stole the cats. And somebody's like, maybe it was like the old guy and his wife who keep killing all the cats. And like, no.
The idea of how do you steal? You can't. How do you steal multiple cats? I mean, it would be very difficult just to steal one cat, let alone multiple,
all of the cats.
Yeah.
Right, and it's not like there's eight. You know, this is a town. You know, and they have they clearly have domesticated cats.
What happens at the end? It clearly took a lot of cats.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing, right? So Menace says his prayer. They leave. All the cats are gone. Oh my God, they took our cats. They come back the next day. So they're back the next day. They don't want to eat their food. They don't want to like drink the milk. They just want to hang and chill by the fire and in the sun. And they're super lazy. And I wonder why that could be. Well,
my belly is so full.
Yep. And so it turns out, the town elders, they finally go and break down the door of the cotter's house. And they find the two skeletons of the cotter and his wife picked clean and also covered in beetles. Another Egyptian reference, like beetles are big in Egypt, you know, mythology. And it turns out, so like we are left to believe anyway, that the cats, you know, ate them, and at the direction of, this boy wizard who then went on to found Egypt. So that's the story. Now I did gloss over a few things here. So just focusing on Menace and Atal. So Atal is the kid who says to the town, he lives in Ulthar, he's an Ultharian or whatever, and he says to the town leadership, is like, hey, by the way, I saw all the cats in town last night, and they were walking two abreast, and they were circling the Cotter's house in some kind of like bestial ritual that we've never seen before. And everyone was like, yeah, whatever.
I feel like I'm always bringing up my son. Yeah, do you remember when everyone thought that one kid from his school was missing, mm-hmm. and he swore that he walked home with him, and so we called the police. Like, no, but then it turns out the kid was at choir practice the whole time. So was he not? Did he not walk home with Jimmy? But uh-huh. he was not even missing to begin with.
Very similar and story.
I was like, oh man, you know, that's not an example of a false confession, you know, of like bad eyewitness testimony. I don't know what is.
Well, good point. Sorry. Good point. No, don't, please don't. I apologize. Because it's even mentioned in the story. It's even mentioned in the story. Like, can we even believe this kid? But, you know, then they go, they find the skeletons and all that. It's like, oh, well, maybe Atal was onto something. But little Atal, like, he and Menez, they kind of have the only, like, no, there's no dialogue, but they kind of have the only speaking parts in this story, mm-hmm. Which is super duper unusual because I don't know of any other, now I haven't looked it up or anything, but I don't know any other Lovecraft story where not just one, but there are two children who are the major characters. I don't know of any other child character, which is interesting to me that this story has not one but two kids. And then Atal as well, by the way, is the second most, I think he's the second most common recurring character in Lovecraft stories. After Randolph Carter from last week. So Atal comes back. He is a fixture in the Dreamlands. He is in another story called The Other Gods, which is, again, like maybe Dreamlands, maybe prehistory, but he's definitely in the Dreamlands. He's like an old man in the Dreamlands, and he is one of the people that helps Randolph Carter in Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath. He's like an old priest or something, and he brings up the Cats of Ulthar specifically, so in that story. So keep an eye out for him in the future.
All right.
So the thing about cats, we have a cat. He is a jerk, and I think this is normally the way cats operate. I think most people, like even cat people, and I will say reluctantly that I'm a cat person. I've had cats pretty much all my life. I've had two dogs. One of them is your dog. It's definitely a stepdog. and then my mom had a dog when I was a kid. But that was my mom's dog. That was nobody else's dog. But I've had cats, and like I've probably had, I don't know, six maybe over the course of my life.
Wow.
It's rare that I don't have a cat around, and so I guess that kind of makes me a cat person.
Yep. I mean, if you buy into the dichotomy that you have to be either a cat person or a dog person.
Cats are like aloof and weird and seem to see things that humans don't see and have like a mysterious inner life. I don't know about that last part with this cat though, the cat that we have right now. I'm not entirely convinced this cat is a neurotypical cat, let's say. So you stumbled across the new name. So, you know, cat, as T.S. Eliot said, like cats have several names, right? You stumbled across the name of Sepulchre for this cat, and he does seem to respond to that.
It's the way I say it, I'm sure.
The way you say it. Can you take another take at that? Because, like, your audio went all crazy.
Sepulchre.
Okay, good. Excellent. Thank you. One more?
Sepulchre.
Very good.
Sepulchre.
Yeah, it's a weird way to say it.
And Muppet.
It's a Muppet. Yeah. And it's like, and I can see, so he just looked over here You know, he's out. He's out in the yard right now, and I can see out in the yard. He looked right over, like as soon as he said it. So, so let's see. What else do we want to talk about? This thing, like, it is a short story. It is. I don't know how many words it is. It's like 1,200 words or something. It's crazy short.
So something to do with their yard. Why are people in this village are angry that these old people are killing their cats, but they're afraid of the old people? And it's something to do with their yard.
It is a story of the most ineffective HOA in all of history and prehistory.
That's great.
This is a bad HOA.
They couldn't even send a passive aggressive letter.
Nope. Yeah, their yard is awful. What is the phrase that they use? It's like, let me see. It's a neglected yard is one way to describe it. There's like, he uses another adjective in there, like a.
They preferred not to chide the old cotter till they met him outside his dark and repellent yard.
His repellent yard, right.
Yeah.
Through the course of the story, it went from neglected to repellent. Like. Now, maybe it's repellent on account of all of, like, maybe the Rube Goldberg style cat traps that are everywhere.
Maybe an old fortune teller told this man or this woman that, like, years ago when they were just children, that that cats would eat them.
Okay.
And that's how they would die, at the paws of cats. And
so they've been living in terror of cats.
Any cat that has been coming near them, they're like, murder it now, kill it dead.
Okay.
But little did they know that the killing of the cat is what would result. I definitely very interested in their motivations.
I mean, they're old people. Like, that's the motivation we have from them, is that they're old.
And we know that Lovecraft was
very
nuanced when he spoke about anybody who was different than him.
Right. So he was 30 years. He was 30 years old when he wrote this. So he wasn't really young anymore. By the way, he wrote this according to sources, according to Donald Burleson, in Lovecraft, The Disturbing Universe. He wrote this story on June 15th, 1920. We will be releasing this podcast on June 15th, 2020. Exactly. So this podcast will mark the 100th anniversary of the authorship, at least, of The Cats of Ulthar. It wasn't published until November of 1920. But that said, it's somewhat like celebrating a conception date rather than a birth date. So he was 30 years old when he wrote this, and he didn't like old people. Mainly because old people, reminded him of mortality and sickness and all that, and he was not into that.
He had a lot of issues.
He did. It was 1920. He had already been rejected from the army. He did try to join the army to go fight in World War I, to go fight the Huns, because he wanted to defend England mainly. But he got kicked. He wasn't taken. He was too sickly. And it's also there's some conspiracy theory that his mother was a socialite, in Providence, and maybe pulled some strings to make sure that he didn't get picked up in the army. And she even, there's some quote, S.T. Joshi talks about this in his writings, about how his mother was very against him joining the army, to the point where he purportedly told him that she would like write letters infinitely. She would write infinite letters to keep him out of the army.
So she was a total Karen.
A little bit. Karen is going to be like not a thing when people listen to this 10 years from now.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It all moves so fast.
I do like, speaking of names, I do like all the names in here, except for Menez's name. Menez's name is really hard to pronounce when you're drunk. But all the other ones are pretty easy, right? So we've got.
I did notice here. Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably the drunkest I've been when
it was cute.
You know what I, so there's an acting tip. When you want to play drunk and you're acting and you're not actually drunk, right? Because drunk people, you don't play like big and garrulous. You play finely right. controlled. Because that's how drunk people act, right? And
yeah,
I could
they're
hear
trying to not let people know.
They're trying to be straight. I am super sober right now. And I could hear that in this podcast. It was like, oh, I am pronouncing all of these words the way they should be pronounced.
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah. So like, wait a minute. Is Agent Smith drunk the whole time? another bombshell in this Lovecraft podcast. But yeah, so we've got Shang the blacksmith. I love him. Thule the cutter of stone. I love him. And you know, these dudes are ripped, right? These are like Robert E. Howard, kind of Conan the Barbarian characters. They are gigantic dudes, to go knock down the frail door of the cotter's right. house.
Not myth though. He's lean.
No.
He is mentioned in here without the adjective lean.
Nith the lean nuttery, the lean nith. Nope. Every time. Nope. He's got three mentions. Yep. Every one of them he's lean.
Yeah. So you're saying that he's a slender man.
He's oh no. Wait a minute. Is this the proto Slenderman?
No, so, he's the only one that's like got any sense about him.
He's also the only one who like listens to Atoll.
Yeah.
And takes Atoll seriously. So anyway, so let's see. And then we have like the Krannon. Krannon is the guy, which I every time I read it, I'll tell you what, like every my all my outtakes are me saying Kramer instead of Krannon. Because I see the KR like leap out at me and I'm like, Kramer, nope.
Wrong again.
Krannon. Too bad he's racist too. Anyway. I like the spell that the kid casts, right?
Well, it starts with meditation and finally to prayer. He stretched out his arms toward the sun and prayed in a tongue no villager could understand. I like that, yeah.
Well,
though indeed, the villagers did not try very hard to understand.
They didn't try hard to understand, which I liked a lot, right? Because now the clouds are changing and they're like taking the form of animals. So maybe if they just like put their back into it, they could understand it. Okay. That was another thing I did want to bring up. So thank you for bringing that up. And I think we have beat this dead cat.
No. It's the dead horse. You swing a dead cat
to beat a dead horse. But in this case, it's not a horse. Yeah. It's a cotter. Anyway, I think that's all I got. We are at just about 35 minutes for a 9-minute reading.
Mm-hmm. Moral of the story is probably listen to your local notary.
Yes, especially when they have supernatural things to report. And am I going to do an outro? Well, let's do an outro. So that's it for this week's Pod Sothoth, a Lovecraft book club. I've been Todd Beardsley.
I am still Claire Reynolds.
And I hope you all have a great night. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm not sure how to do the outro, so I'm going to cut in here. How about this? You can follow us on Twitter at PodSothoth, or you can write to us at hideous@podsothoth.club. And if you do, please mention some sort of mechanism for pronouncing your name in a human tongue. So if we read it aloud, we can attribute it correctly. And have a great night. Thank you very much.